Dedication, drive, focus, and practice come naturally to Canadian vocalist Patrice Aigoux. Patrice trained as an ice skater from the time she was 7 and went professional at 18, first as a coach and later as a performer in a touring ice show. After a suggestion from a friend that she might work to develop her naturally lovely singing voice, Patrice jumped in and earned a doctorate in classical voice performance. Popular music and jazz caught her attention, and again, she redirected her focus. She listened, studied, and eventually, with the help of her jazz-loving husband, Yinka Oyelesi, she gathered some of her favorite jazz musicians and arrangers to record her latest CD, If It Ain't Love. Patrice and I talked about the influence her long athletic training had in helping her take on each of these creative challenges, and how that training continues to inform her work today. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Patrice credits much of her musical passion to her mother's range of musical taste.
My mom has a very eclectic taste in music. So the story I was telling you a little bit earlier was that in her record player, if I wanted to go listen to something, I could listen to a Deutsche Grammophon classical record. I remember specifically listening to the Brahms Violin Concerto. But then with the other hand, I could pull out the soundtrack to Saturday Night Fever.
I think it's fantastic. It's great.
So, you know, it's like I was telling you, on the one hand, I literally was holding a Brahms, a record of Brahms, and then the other hand, it was the Bee Gees.
Yeah, which is great. So, it's great. And did she take you to concerts? Did you get to hear very much
Not
live?
So much live, but, you know, I grew up in a very small city. Mm. I grew up in Red Deer, Alberta, which is right between Calgary and Edmonton. Mm. So if you wanted to go see live music, generally speaking, you would have to drive like an hour and a half to a larger center. So not so much. But and then I was telling you about the cassette my mom had. She had and I remember this from Little. She had a cassette of, I don't remember the name of the album, but it was Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong. Mm. And she saw Ella when she was younger in Edmonton. And she also had a cassette, I remember this so clearly, of Portuguese fado music.
Oh, my word!
Yeah.
She was very hip.
She was hip, I guess.
And you said she also played instruments. She played
by ear. My mom, she played organ a lot. And it's funny because when I was reading your book, in the first chapter, you talked about the song 5 Foot Blue, Eyes of Two.
Yeah. 5 Foot Two, Eyes of Blue, right? Yeah,
my mom would play that a lot on the organ. Yes. So by ear. Mm-hmm. So she had her organ. She loved her organ. She had a piano downstairs. She had a fiddle. She had a guitar. She may have had a banjo at one point. I'm not sure. My uncle plays banjo by ear and keyboard by ear.
This is wonderful.
It's from my mom's side of the family.
What fascinates me about your journey coming to where you are now is that you started out with a real athletic pursuit, and then someone said that you sang well while you were in the middle of the skating career, and you thought about that and then went home and thought, I'm going to pursue this or at least see where I can go with it, which I have discussed with students in master classes that they should listen, I feel, to what people say to them. And then if a lot of people say the same thing, which is interesting because everybody comes up, well, like everybody always told me I should sing just because they want everybody to sing. And I knew that wasn't because my voice was screaming out, here's a person who should sing.
Okay.
So you eliminate some things like that. You know, you think about it.
Okay.
But if people observe a talent, I think that's really interesting because I think if we're all more observant, we'll start thinking, yeah, that has meaning for me. And
Definitely. Obviously,
you were in the middle of a skating career, and which I think is very cool. You were with a circus.
Yes.
You realize everyone, at least in America, we all want to run away with the circus, you did, which is very cool. But you're in the middle of a successful circus career. I just love saying that. So someone says, you sing well, and you decide to go do that. So that is interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Was that a big leap for you? Was that just an interesting thought? Did it resonate with it something
resonated.
In you.
Yes, it resonated.
So talk about that, because that's really interesting that you went from that suggestion to a life change.
Right. Okay, so I'll tell you this. I can tell you that even though I wasn't singing and not taking voice lessons, you know, throughout my childhood and whatnot, that I kind of knew I could sing. Mm. And I'll tell you why I say that. Like, I can honestly say, like, around the age of 10, I thought, oh, I know how to kind of intuitively sort of sing. Mm. Or it's sort of, there's an ease to it. Maybe it's a little wild and whatever. But the reason I say that is because my mom sent us to a Christian school that had congregational singing as part of the curriculum. And we had, and I was thinking about this, I can't remember if it was every day we had a chapel service or if it was once a week, whatever. There was a chapel service with congregational singing. So I learned how to sing through congregational singing, and I learned how to sing harmony through congregational singing at school. So it wasn't like completely way out in the distance, like, oh, that's ridiculous. I could never be a... It's like, oh, I remember singing in school.
But see, these are these things that I think are so important, the exposure when we're young, because that's how you do discover it. How else do you know you have talent for something?
You don't.
And choir gives you so many things, the group singing.
Definitely.
And I know from this show and talking to so many people, one of the things I find fascinating is where people key in. Mm-hmm. Because now some people would be in a choir and they would relate with the conductor and think, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Somebody else, you were noticing, oh, I'm able to sing these things. Somebody else would enjoy the harmony and think, I'd rather do. You only know those things if you try it.
True.
So that's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. So then you went to school, you majored in this, but then you made this leap to jazz, which I really find interesting because something that I love about your singing that I noticed right away before I read about your journey, I did that on purpose.
Okay.
That I like to listen to somebody before I'm reading about them because it prejudices me. It makes me listen to them differently.
Right.
A complaint, not of just mine, but of a lot of jazz musicians, is that classical singers who have this great technique and ability to hold notes a long time can't stop doing that.
Yes, that's true.
And it winds up being the anti-swing.
Totally.
It's very hard to swing when you're holding these notes out a long time, but a lot of people do. I want you to talk about that because you mentioned that specifically in your press.
Oh, right.
That it was something that you discovered, a different way of approaching and phrasing. And I loved that you addressed that.
Right. Huh. Well, first off, it does help to have outside ears helping you along and helping you to hear that that does not work. And when I say outside ears, I mean my husband and my voice coach. And I mean the producer, very specifically, Mark Kibble, who produced a couple of the tracks on this record and on my last record, too. I remember doing a master class when I was in my master's with Richard Miller. And he said to me, Patrice, and Richard Miller was a very famous vocal pedagogue, and he taught at Oberlin and all this. He said, Patrice, don't make an aria out of the last note.
Well, I rest my case.
Exactly.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, and it's so interesting that you should say the anti-swing. I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah, you're right. And
well, it's impossible to swing if you're holding these notes out because you're never getting that phrase. You're not playing with the space.
True.
With the empty space, the silence, as effectively, because there isn't any silence because there's a long note.
It's true. Yeah. And it's like you have to sort of like brainwash yourself out of classical mode because so much for us is about the legato and these long sostenuto lines and everything. And you kind of have to tell yourself, okay, it's okay not to be holding these lines and singing with this beautiful sostenuto and legato because it's not bel canto repertoire. I'm singing like some swinging tune. People are not going, I want to hear the beauty in her tone. They're like, go girl, swing. Let me hear. Right? And they're not listening for beauty of tone. They're like, you know, bring me some funk. They call it that Jersey bounce.
a rhythm that really counts. The temperature always mounts. Wherever they play the funny rhythm they play, it started on Journal Square, and somebody heard it there. He put it right on the air, and now you hear it everywhere. Uptown gave it new licks, downtown added some tricks. No town makes it sound the same as where it came from. So if you don't feel so hot, to some Jersey spot, and whether you're hip or not, the Jersey bounce will make you swing. They call it that Jersey bounce. It's got a rhythm that really counts. The temperature always mounts. Wherever they do play the funny rhythm they play, it starts.
My guest, vocalist Patrice J. Goo on Jersey Bounce from her CD, If It Ain't Love. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Patrice's husband, Yinka, is a longtime jazz fan and helped enhance Patrice's development as a jazz singer.
Ask him anything about, like, anyone, and he'll say, oh, it was recorded in 1967.
Oh, he's one of those.
He's one of those. He's one of those.
But I love that you approached how you put this CD together by listening to, well, first I read that you listened to Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett's recording.
Yes, that's true.
And loved the sound and thought, who got that sound for them?
Yes.
And then pursued that. That is a great lesson in so many ways because you came at it not in an intellectual way. You came at it with the joy of the result, the sound of it. How did they get that sound? How could we do something? Mm-hmm. I love that. Talk about that.
Well, you know, before we started really talking, I was telling you about how I love liner notes. I love to hold an album and read and, you know, process and Google. I'm a nerd. I'm like, oh, this was put out by, wait, who is that engineer? Google. Oh, that guy. Ah, you know, it was like, actually, I've been listening to Breezin, the George Benson record. And I Googled it and I was on Wikipedia. I'm like, oh, Tommy LaPuma was the, Al Schmidt. Like, I nerd out on this. To me, that's so interesting. So it's good that I have a cohort, my husband, who also is really interested in that. And it's like we start, I love that you said the joy of listening. That's true. It was the joy of listening. That's a big deal. If there's no enjoyment in it, I have to sort of go, ooh, wait, let me reassess this.
But the deeper meaning on that is that each of those names contributes something very specific, and that means something. I miss liner notes.
Yeah, I do too.
And we've talked about that a lot on the show, different people.
Because, oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Because very often people have the lyrics, if they've written them, which I always think is humorous because I think, well, if you sang them clearly, we wouldn't need them written out. That's my own little thing. Sorry, people. It's my show. I get to complain. I would rather that they told me something about this music or the people that have contributed in some way.
It's so interesting.
It's so interesting, but it tells you something. And also that's why you went to some of these people, because you thought they're getting the result that I would like to get in some regard.
Oh, completely.
And now I know who these people are and I can find them.
Which is, I mean, honestly, it was like we're listening to Diana Krall, then another Diana Krall, then the other Diana Krall record, like just record after record going, oh, look at that, Al Schmidt on every record. Hmm, isn't that interesting? The engineer who basically engineered all her records. You know, listening to this Barbra Streisand record and that Barbra Streisand. Oh, look at that, Jorge Calandrelli. Huh, interesting. Oh, the Chris Botti record. Look at that. Jorge Calandrelli again. Getting back to Diana Krall. Look at that. John Clayton on this record. John Clayton on that record. John Clayton on this record.
Yeah.
What if we reach out to John Clayton? Like, what's the worst thing that could happen? He could say no. That's how we thought. We're like, okay, this guy's a total superstar. Jorge's a superstar. John Clayton's a superstar. Al Schmitz is, what is the worst thing that they can do? Say no. And they didn't.
Bubbles, bangles, hear how they jingling out. Bubbles, bangles, bright shiny beads, sparkles, spangles, my heart will sing, singling out, wearing bubbles, bangles and beads. He may buy me a ring, ring-a-linga. I've heard that's where it leads. Wearing bubbles, fingers, and beads.
Something that I have found with people in any part of the arts that are dealing with a sophisticated art form, mm-hmm. whether it's painting, writing, music in our case, you're coming from a place that's not, I just want to do something commercial. You want to make something beautiful.
Right.
And other people in that field also want to do it. And I think when, at least with what people tell me, my own experience, that if you're approaching this in a, from a serious place, mm-hmm. those other people will say yes.
That's an interesting observation.
Yeah, so you're saying, oh, they're superstars,
yeah.
but you're serious about this, and you reached mm-hmm. out to them, and you were also saying, we're reaching out to you because I know you've recorded with so-and-so, so-and-so,
yes.
and you've done this.
Yeah.
Everybody appreciates appreciation.
Yes, that's true.
And if, in this case, you're talking about their work and their art, mm-hmm. they're especially pleased.
Yes.
And I think that's a big difference, that that is an interesting message for today with people where so much it's about fame. It's not about what you've actually done to be famous.
Right, right.
People are operating in a very different way, in a very transactional way.
Mm.
Well, if you'll get me on my show or on your show, you'll be on my show or whatever.
Right.
And you're actually reaching out and saying, I love your music.
Oh, that was completely it. Yeah. I'm at the age and stage where this like fame thing that you just talked about, that's like not even.
Well, you want to do something worthwhile.
Definitely.
And I'm curious for our listeners who are aspiring to do their own projects. I was fascinated that you did such a huge project.
Right.
This is orchestra. This is all these superstars. Mm. They're your heroes. Mm-hmm. Everything.
Yep.
You haven't recorded a lot.
No, I haven't.
How did it feel to go in the studio and be with all these people that record all the time and have been recording for years?
You see me feeling nervous already, going back.
I know I can see you. It's radio. Nobody can see you.
Yeah,
this is good, Patrice. No one can see you.
Exactly.
But I was really impressed with that. I have to tell you, because you sound incredibly relaxed.
Oh.
And I can't imagine that you were relaxed.
It kind of depended. I mean, I was just, you know, right here, right now, as you're asking me that, and we're talking about the inspiration of people and listening to records. And we were talking earlier about the record that Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga did. And Yinka and I had been listening to that. We had the liner notes, and it was Jorge Calandrelli who not only conducted, but arranged. And when we reached out to him, we just couldn't believe he even said yes. And do you know how generous he was? May I say this?
Absolutely.
Because this does, I think, touch on what you were just talking about, how people are on board if you're serious about it and, you know, you're really genuine about your intentions. Yinka and I were in London on vacation. His sons live there. And he said, would you guys like to come backstage and meet me after the Lady Gaga, Tony Bennett gig? He didn't have to do that. I think we had met him once at that point. I mean, that's a generosity.
Yeah,
that,
it is.
That just kind of kept going down the line. So the reason I'm telling you that story is because he was already a very generous, open person. So when I did get into the studio to do the bigger things with orchestra, I already had a little bit of a personal relationship with him. And my husband is a very smart person when it comes to how to win friends and influence people. And that's a joke, but just stay with me.
I don't know. I liked him.
What I mean is this. Yinka is really big on people establishing a little bit of a relationship before going into the studio.
Oh, that's absolutely essential. Right? I think that's great if you can do it.
Yeah, if you can. And so Yinka made it clear to me. He's like, I think we should sit down and have dinner with these people. We need to get to know them. We need to express our gratitude to them. And that was the icebreaker, just having social engagement with folks before going into the studio. So that helped. I was sweating bullets a couple of times.
Well, you'd have to.
Oh, yeah.
And with the whole orchestra,
yes.
It's a lot of people.
It is. I was kind of like, okay, just get in the zone, chill. I mean, I've sung with orchestras before as a classical singer, but I've never recorded with an orchestra.
It's different.
It's totally different. It's totally different. So... and I remember the first rehearsal with John Clayton and the Clayton Hamilton Orchestra. I mean, I was just trying to look cool. Because I was like, oh my goodness, what am I doing here? These guys are incredible. And a lot of them they brought along family and friends to the rehearsal and stuff.
Oh,
and
how nice.
Yeah, it was nice. But I'm like, oh my goodness, there's kind of like a little audience here for the rehearsal. So, you know, and I'll tell you this, that is the time where I personally really rely on technique. I mean, yes, I'm thinking you must interpret, you know, but I'm going, okay, honey, you got to rely on your technique right now because these nerves, forget about it. They cannot throw you off your game. So that I do appreciate being able to glom onto that technique when I'm in a situation where I'm quite nervous, you know?
That reminds me of your athletic background too, because that's something that I think is that any professional in any field where it's a developed skill, practice,
right,
that you have to be at such a high level that when the nerves do hit, that you go to your technique. And that's what musicians do. It's what athletes do because you don't have the time to be thinking.
Yeah, that's
that.
True.
Mm-hmm. And that's fascinating. So I would think that habit of training, that those skills you've brought over to your music as well, I would
think. Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I was thinking, oh, I hope Judy doesn't ask me, do you think about technique when you're singing? Because I'm thinking, oh, I should be a more developed artist where, no, I don't think about technique. I'm just flowing with the muse.
No.
I'm thinking about technique quite a bit, actually.
Oh, yeah. No, so. I think as a singer, and this is something that you can speak to because you have such great technique, that I have to tell you, I hear a lot of singers that I wish they were thinking about technique. And you think that you can go at it either way. If you don't have the technique to be able to stand out and deliver, then all the soul in the world isn't going to do it. But at the same time, if you only have technique and you have no soul, so it's really about having both. So I think that's great.
That's true.
Is hilarious.
Should I feel just like I do? If it ain't love, why am I here longing for you? What can it be that's making me dream of you night and day? Keeping me blue all the day through, whenever you're away. If it ain't love, then it must be some magic art. Effort and love, how did this song creep into my heart? Oh, why do I sigh to the moon high above? Please answer me, what can it be if it ain't love? If it ain't love, why should I feel just like I do? Baby, if it ain't love, why am I here longing for you? What can it be that's making me dream of you night and day? I keep me blue all the day through. Whenever you're away, if it ain't love, then it must be some magic art. If it ain't love, how did this song creep into my heart? Ooh, why do I sigh to the moon high above? Please answer me.
Patrice Jaigu on the title track from her CD, If It Ain't Love. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Our show is made possible in part with generous support from Steinway & Sons and from East Hampton Indoor Tennis, 8 indoor and 20 outdoor courts in a quiet, beautiful park-like setting. Visit ehit.ws for more information. For a schedule of upcoming programs, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. You can find podcasts of Jazz Inspired on iTunes and all the usual platforms. Email us at info@jazzinspired.com or visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Stride Queen. My guest is vocalist Patrice Jaigu. When you listen to someone like Shirley Bassey, who you love.
Yes.
How do you key in on that? What is it about her?
Timbre. Energy. Athleticism. There's that word again. There's an athleticism to her singing that I love. But for me, like, okay, when I first heard her, I was a teenager. And I can't remember if it's the track I sent you or if it was one of the James Bond themes. I don't know.
I love the James Bond themes.
So do I. And I just, when I was a teenager and I heard her singing Goldfinger, I'm like, who is this? Whose voice is this? I mean, I was a teenager. I didn't know. And the timbre is what got me. Like a combo of the timbre, the power, And there's a great deal of theatricality in her singing. I don't know if it's, she just has sass and attitude. And she's a total diva, not in a bad way, but she's just like, darling, give me text, you know? And I just, it just resonates with me.
They say some people long ago were searching for a different tune, one that they could croon as only they can. They only had they didn't know just what to use, and this is how the blues really began. They heard the breeze in the trees singing
brought Edith Piaf. Now, mm-hmm. She does her thing.
She does.
Now, talk about her, because there's nobody like Edith Piaf. A lot of people try to imitate her.
Right.
But she had, to my ears, mm-hmm. such a unique sound, mm-hmm. and that just takes you to that spot.
Totally.
Yeah, talk about her.
Her voice is a whole self-contained theatrical world. It is. And here's the thing. Now, I don't want anyone to get mad at me, okay? The voice isn't particularly, quote, beautiful. It's not that. The vibrato is really, really fast, right? And which is typically French, actually, in my humble opinion. I've noticed that with a lot of French singers, whether they be pop, jazz, or classical. Mm. It just seems to be a sensibility. Whatever, that's another mm-hmm. conversation. She can be singing anything, any song, any tempo, any topic. And she's a storyteller, and I don't even need to fully understand the language. There's like this pathos in the voice. The voice is full of so many colors and characteristics and timbres and sass, sometimes teeny weeny bit out of tune. I'm like, if it were in tune, it wouldn't work. Please, nobody sanitize this. Like, could you imagine if auto-tune existed when Edith was singing? That would be a hot mess.
La fille de joie est belle au coin de la rue là-bas. Elle a une clientèle qui lui remplit son bar. Quand son boulot s'achève, elle s'en va à son tour chercher un peu de rêve dans un bal du faubourg. Son homme est un artiste,
C'est un drôle de petit gars, un accordéoniste, qui sait jouer la java. Elle écoute la java, mais elle ne la danse pas. Elle ne regarde même pas la piste. Et ses yeux amoureux suivent le jeu nerveux. Et les doigts s'égainant de l'artiste. Ça lui rentre dans la peau par le bas, pardon. Elle a envie de chanter sa physique. Tout son être étendu, son souffle est suspendu. C'est une vraie tordue de la musique.
And for you, with this CD, the two of you, you and your husband, did the choices on this.
Right.
And the take six is so wonderful. Talk about that. What's that like for you as a singer to be backed up with a vocal group like that? It seems like it'd be lots of fun.
Oh, it's, well, first off, it's completely humbling because they're complete geniuses. Literally in every sense of the word. They're geniuses as singers, both in terms of being able to sing together, which is hard. Have you ever sung with other people?
No, it's really hard.
Yeah, it ain't always easy. And singing, they swing completely. I mean, the rhythmical intricacy of so many of their arrangements is just so crazy and so delicious. But anyway, they're genius singers. They're genius arrangers. They're genius musicians. They all play, by the way. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Oh, you have to see them live. The first time I saw them live, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. They're going to the keyboard and to the piano and to the guitar.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, my goodness. They can play. They really can play. But, you know, I have to say this. It's important to me that people hear this. Yes, it's one thing that they're stellar musicians and stellar singers. But can I just tell you, they're stellar human beings.
Mm.
It's a big deal that I actually want people to understand that they're not snobs. An ego, I couldn't find one if I looked for it amongst the six of them.
Isn't that lovely?
I mean, is it rare? Or I'm just curious about that. Like, they have been so good to me over the years. They actually were on my last record as well. And kind, sweet geniuses. And I just like want to pinch myself every time.
Aww.
I look at my, seriously. It's like, it's track six is take six. Wait, what? How did that happen?
What price happiness? What price happiness? Who can truthfully say? But for every shell with tears we pay. Love is happiness. I've had happiness, but it ended one day. Look at life a different way. When skies are cloudy and gray, they're only gray for a day. So wrap your troubles in dreams. Until that sunshine peeps through, there's only one thing to do. Just wrap your troubles in dreams and dream your troubles away. Now your castles may tumble, that's fate after all. Life's really funny that way. To grumble, smile as they fall. Weren't you king for a day? So just remember that sunshine always follows the rain. So wrap your troubles in dreams and dream your troubles away.
My guest, vocalist Patrice Jaigu, with Take Six on Wrap Your Troubles in Dreams from her CD, If It Ain't Love. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. We both love Diane Schur.
Love her.
talk about her. She's a nutty gal.
Love her.
Loads of fun. What a voice. Talk about this. I love this track. I was glad you brought this.
She's one of my vocal heroes. I listened to your interview of her, and she's another person who's kind of like the Take Six guys, really down to earth, zero ego, and just like a ton of talent oozing in all directions. The reason, though, that I love Diane Shore is primarily, I'm back to my voice thing, the timbre. I love her voice. I just love the sound. And in my humble opinion, which is not so humble, she, when it comes to talking about singers, she's a virtuosic singer. There's a great deal of virtuosity in her singing, in the execution of high notes, especially. I remember the first time I heard that Count Basie record she did in 1987. I just was like, how is she doing this? And by the way, when I listened to that record, it was in maybe 2004, okay? I was teaching voice at the time at the University of Lethbridge. That was how I made my living, teaching voice. And I heard it. I'm like, who is this? How is she doing this vocally? Like in terms of the actual pedagogy? And the funny thing is, I think for her, it's just all instinctual. I don't know if she's studied voice or what. I'd like to maybe do some research and find out. But the reason I chose her was because I love the timbre. It's both, it's this weird combo or weird, rare, that's the right word, combo of really steely and really warm.
Diane Shore with the Count Basie Orchestra. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Diane is a favorite of my guest, vocalist Patrice Jégou. When I interviewed her, I'm thinking about it because you said a combination of warmth and steeliness.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly who she is. And I walked in and I did the interview in a very small hotel room. Mm-hmm. And I knocked on the door, walked in, and her representative was there and said, "Oh, Judy, come on in." And Diane was at the computer, mm-hmm. and she's blind, of course.
Yeah.
And but she had it speaking to her, and she could do all the manipulation. She goes, mm-hmm. "Jude, come here." She immediately gets a nickname for you. Has me come over, and she says, "Listen to this. Listen to this. I've been dying for you to be. I want to play this for you." And I thought, this is just passion,
yeah.
oozing. Somebody who is so excited. We're about to do an interview about her,
right?
But she's been waiting to play me something that she thinks I'll like.
Wow.
And that's what it was. She'd looked up some early George Shearing or something that she wanted me to hear. Yeah. Which I think is really great.
Oh,
and that
wow.
is that thing of that I hope comes across with these conversations that I am so fortunate to get to have with people is this continuing regenerating excitement
yes.
about creativity,
yes,
which is
right.
really what it's about. And it's
yeah.
a challenge
yeah.
for professional artists because yeah. they're beaten down from the hustle, they're beaten down from the rejection, they're beaten down
yes.
from a lot of things.
Right.
And I don't know that people who aren't doing this for a living realize how hard it is to sustain the joy
totally
and the inspiration.
Oh, yes.
And how do you do that? How do you keep yourself excited about all of this?
Well, honestly, it's an ebb and flow. I have my days where I'm like, okay, why am I doing this? Can someone please explain this? Then there are other days where I'm on a mountaintop because it's so fulfilling. So I'm not in a place yet where I have really hit like some equilibrium where I'm in total acceptance of the
But do you think
everything.
Anybody does? Have you met anybody who does?
No, actually, I haven't.
Yeah, I don't think you're unusual. I never met anybody who doesn't have these ups
yeah,
and downs.
So, there you go.
But that's what I find, what I admire about the musicians that mm-hmm. keep going or the artists that keep going are the mm-hmm. ones that get through, you know, peaks and troughs. They
yes.
get through the troughs and they keep going.
Yes.
Was a fool with my money, and I lost every dime, and the sun stopped shining, and it rained all the time. It did set me back some, but I made it through. But I'll never get over losing you. Do you know how much you should have told you, 'cause it's true. I'd get over losing everything, but I'll never get over. This time you forget the past, you don't think that you will, but you do. But I know now I don't have time. Thank you. been hungry, but not for a while. I guess most of my dreams have come true. With it all here around me, no peace do I find, and I'll never get over losing you.
Something that musicians talk about a lot, and it's a profound subject, is time, and not just keeping correct time, but this whole mysterious subject of swing, which I was very impressed with you coming from a classical field and being able to swing so hard, frankly.
Huh.
Now, you've listened to a lot of jazz.
Yes.
And your husband's a jazz fan. But I'm still interested. A lot of people don't make that transition. They never really can feel the quarter note. We're getting all nerdy. In that swing feel. And you do. And I'm curious, when you're listening, if you and your husband talk about it, because he's the longer jazz fan.
Yes.
So does he talk about feel in the music?
Yes.
Will he say this isn't really swinging or this doesn't?
Always.
So has he educated you
in
that and made your ears more sensitive
he's
to it?
He's made my ears more sensitive, but also I have the intuitive part of it. So, and actually, you're going to laugh because this is going to sound really, really weird. In order to be a good skater, you have to have good rhythm. Here's where I'm going
with
this.
No, that doesn't surprise me at all. You're dancing.
You are dancing.
Mm.
So when I was ice dancing growing up, so there were three disciplines, Reader's Digest version of the Reader's Digest version. Okay, we used to do compulsory figures, free skate, freestyle, and dance. And you could specialize in free skate or dance. And you could do dance pairs, you could do free skate pairs, or free skate singles. When you watch the elite ice dancers, and I encourage everyone to watch elite ice dancers, you will notice that the elite ones are always a little bit behind the beat.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, always. They're never right on the beat, because if they're on the beat, they look amateurish. They look kind of clunky.
Well, yeah, because it would look very correct.
Yes, it's very rigid.
Like hopping on one and three.
Oh. When you did that at your show, Yinka and I laughed so hard.
But that's what it is.
Yes.
So it's the difference. No, I can see that completely, because it's the same with tap dancers.
Oh.
If you're watching a tap dancer, if they are one, two, three, four, they don't seem relaxed.
Yes, exactly.
They need to be floating over the beat, which is what jazz is. It's a different feel.
This
so
is
that's
the perfect,
fascinating.
Yeah, when you said so, floating, that's the same thing in skating. And when you're talking about swinging and music, for me, if I start feeling tight physically, then I know I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking too hard and I'm analyzing and it's like, no, let go. Let your body kind of, let your body feel the rhythm. I know
it sounds fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great focus for people who come out of classical music, because I'm sure you've had it. I've had it a lot, where people are classical players or singers and they want to do jazz.
Yeah.
And they're not really listening to much jazz, or they're not listening the right way, so that people are saying those things to them and saying, no, hear what that rhythm is.
Yes.
And it's also getting to play with people, like a great dance partner. And since you've done skate dancing and that, I'm sure that that was the thing too.
Yes.
If you have somebody who is flowing in that way, you can feel where it's supposed to go.
You can. Yeah, you can. And you just know that if you step down and do that chakta or whatever it is you're doing on the ice right on beat one, it just looks, I keep saying clunky. That is not the right word, but I can't think of a better.
I think clunky is a pretty good word.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a-do-a
what, do 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 what. It makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Give that rhythm everything you've got. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
This has been delightful. I've so been looking forward to meeting you and doing this and having this conversation.
Thank
it's you. Fantastic.
Oh, I am so honored to be here, Judy. You have no idea.
Aww,
it's really,
thank
it's
you.
A privilege, and I'm grateful. And thank you so much. What a joy to be with you.
Thank you. You've been listening to my conversation with vocalist Patrice Jégoux. I hope you'll join me here next time when I talk with another celebrated creative person about how jazz has inspired their life and work. I'm Judy Carmichael, the host and producer of Jazz Inspired. My production engineers are J.D. Allen and Curtis Heidoff. You can download free podcasts of Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired from iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Our opening music was Airmail Special, and the mid-break music is a smooth one from my CD, High on Fats and Other Stuff. The closing music is Old Fashioned Love from my CD Trio. I'm on piano with Mike Hashem on sax and Chris Flory on guitar. Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired is made possible with generous support from our listeners and from Steinway & Sons and from Sag Harbor Florist. Visit sagharborflorist.net. Additional support is provided by Jazz Times Magazine, providing entertaining and provocative coverage of the jazz scene since 1970. On the web at jazztimes.com. Jazz Inspired is also sponsored in part by Page at 63 Main in Sag Harbor, New York, serving organic microgreens and vegetables grown on their own energy-efficient indoor and outdoor aquaponic farms. Better taste, happier planet. Visit Page at 63 Main at opentable.com. And special thanks to Henry and Gilda Block and to the Ken Kolker Foundation. For more information, visit jazzinspired.com or judycarmichael.com.